Gary, I call them the College Street Baptist Church Salvation Army Band, and they're good. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Talented, and I'm glad that they're using it for the Lord. I was doing some research this week and kind of refreshing my mind about the generational names that have been established. Nobody, they claim certain people started these names that we refer to. And then somewhere along the line, they're not real sure who has continued doing that. But Tom Brokaw called that first group the Great Generation. We've been referred to as the Silent Generation, those born from 25 to 45 of 1900. Then came along the baby boomers, a lot of baby boomers in this room, born between 1946 and 1964. Now, we've still got a lot of the Great Generation, too. Then the generation X, Y, and Zs came along from 65 to about 79 is generation X. And then the millennials, we talk a lot about the millennials. They're the ones born, and that's a big subject of debate about when is the end of that. But from about 1980 to somewhere in the late 90s, and it's kind of been hovered on 96, but sometimes it goes all the way up to year 2000. They're Generation Y. And then the younger generation are called the Centennials, whether it's 2000 and beyond or 1996 and beyond. But all of them have, in their own way, similar cultures, similar traits, backgrounds, they have similar values and preferences, and they all have seen a progression in the field of education and science and lots of other things. Each generation changed from the one before it. Another thought that came along as I researched again, the Barna Research Organization, which does basically faith-based type of research, they came along and they've been doing research, and they've said that very few of the millennials, in fact, they say the younger it is, but the very few of the millennials today are willing, if they believe in Jesus Christ or have a relationship in a church, are willing to talk about it or share it with others. And the reason for that is they've been taught in school, in the media, and around the world, it's not our place. We might offend someone. We don't want to hurt their feelings. And that's one of the troubling thoughts that we're having to face today as a Church of Jesus Christ. Because the message of Jesus Christ is bold, and it is challenging, and it does offend. And it needs to, because we don't want to see someone lost and going to hell. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are bound, we are empowered to tell them about Him, about Jesus. But we're not doing it. And it's not just the millennials. What they study and they found from the boomers to the X, to the Y's, to the Z's, it's gotten less and less true that we've been more and more evangelistic. We're not. We're not going into the world. But they did discover something. They discovered that if someone is one to Christ, it doesn't matter what age, they are just as likely to read their Bible and believe that it's God's Word and to understand it to be the written revelation of God, His story to us today. They're much more likely to pray, have devotions, keep journals. They're much more likely to attend church on a weekly basis, and they will believe in the one true God. They will trust that the Word of God is true. And they do believe that one day He's coming again. Do you? Amen. We don't act like it sometimes. We think this is all there is. But they will believe if you truly know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now here's the truth. The younger the generation, the less they're coming to church and believing in Christ. But here's another truth. The Holy Spirit can still reach them. And He may want to use us. He might say, hey, College Street, it's time to wake up and get back to work. Because that's what He's calling all our churches to do today. God will not be defeated because we don't choose to follow God's Word. God will not be defeated if we choose to refuse to accept a challenge that's set before us greater than our minds can conceive. We can rebuild His church by His power if we choose to follow Him. The challenge is enormous. It won't be easy. But the call of God is rebuild the church, preach the Word, love the people, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. We got to remember what Jesus said. He said to Peter, who are they saying that I am? And Peter said, well, John the Baptist, Elijah, you know, somebody. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And we talked about this now for 3 weeks. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah. You're the one we've been expecting. You're the one we've hoped for. You're the one we needed. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you got it, Peter. You finally got it. You got that message. It's in your heart now. And He said, upon that profession, upon the rock of that testimony, Jesus said, I will build My church. Where most of us go wrong is we build our church in our strength, by our power. We use our resources to meet our perceived needs. And we get away from His church. When was the last time we really had a Holy Ghost moment in any of our services? When was the last time we put aside our anger or our concern or anything and said, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And I need to repent of my sin. And I need You to forgive me. And if You will, God, use me. Again, we got to get back to work, and that's where it begins today. We got to get back to work. We're going to look at a little book. I hope you've had time to find Haggai. It's hidden in there in the Old Testament. It's between the Z's, and that's not sleeping time back there in the back row. That's Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's back there. Yeah, I see that hand. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's just two little old chapters. It's just 38 little verses. Haggai had one of the greatest ministries of the Old Testament, saw the greatest success of the Old Testament, and he only worked for 4 months. God called him, sent him, finished with him, and we don't hear from him again. 4 months. The purpose of his ministry was to get the people back to work. Now, you know the story. The children of Israel, God's people, had forsaken the way of God. And the 12 tribes of Israel are divided into two kingdoms, and one by one, each kingdom is carried off into captivity. And finally, the last kingdom is carried off by the Babylonians to captivity. Some years go by, and the Persians take over the Babylonians. But then there's a king that comes along and says, I don't care if those people go back to Jerusalem. They're no threat to me. Go. And so some of them return to Jerusalem. And God said, rebuild My house. And that's where we pick up in Haggai chapter 1, verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, the Persian king, on the first day of the sixth month, which is basically identifying that it is a historical event in a timeline of history, the word of God came through the prophet Haggai. And I want to tell you today that the Word of God is coming through other prophets and other preachers, and maybe every now and then through me, but God needs to speak to us, and He needs to speak, and we need to listen. And so the Word came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, who is the high priest. God sent his word specifically to the ones who could get this thing going. And so it says in verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. He says, these people that have come back to Jerusalem, they say, well, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. What did God tell them when they went back to Jerusalem from captivity? He said, rebuild the house of the Lord. When Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan and into the promised land, what did he say? Do all these things. And because they didn't, they weren't blessed as much as God intended to bless them. And God said, when you get back to Jerusalem, rebuild my house. Verse 3. So the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai again with another question. The question is from God to the people. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses? What's that all about? While the house of the Lord remains in ruins? What happened here? They came back. They were given the products to rebuild the temple. They got a little confused. They got a little off center. They decided that they were tired, and they took the materials and they built their homes. No longer were they living in the tents of wonder. They were in these paneled houses. And the house of the Lord stood in ruins. So he says after that, verse 5, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. He says, give careful thought to your ways. The beginning of revival, by the way, revival is not for the lost. Revival is for the saved. Revival is a time of taking careful thought of our ways. And God's saying, okay, guys, I know you think you're right, but listen to me. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much. Emphasize you, but you've harvested little. You eat, but you've never had enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put the money in purses filled with holes. God's saying, think about your ways. Think about why you haven't prospered. Think about how come you're not fulfilled. And stop pointing your fingers and blaming somebody else. You did it. And I didn't bless what you did. Peter, who do you say I am? Upon this, I will build my church, he says. We are too busy trying to build our churches, and we're doing it all over America. It's not working. I remember the days when we first started building gymnasiums. You know, there's a lot of criticism about that. Many of them built the gymnasiums for themselves, but others didn't. And the ones who reached out into their communities built huge ministries that reached children and youth and even young adults with the gospel message, because they would turn every event into a time of sharing what Jesus has done, a time of prayer and an invitation. We've gotten away from the simple truth of telling people about Jesus and inviting them to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. Verse 10. Let's go back to verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out little. What you brought home, which was my materials, by the way, God's saying, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. In other words, You were allowed to go back to do what I asked you to do. You didn't do that. You did what you wanted to do, and you have neglected me. By neglecting the house, you've neglected me, and I'm just not going to bless that. That's his prerogative, by the way. We don't get to choose our blessings. It's his prerogative along the way. Therefore, in verse 10, because of you, the heavens withheld the dew, and the earth withheld its crops. And I called for a drought. God did. On the field and the mountain, the grain, the wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on the people. A drought on the people and the livestock. And on all the labor of our hands. Their hands, your hands. Again, he's stressing the fact that God isn't the center of their lives any longer. When God was the center of their lives, remember I talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how holy it was to the point that they couldn't even look at it. And when it was time to move, they had to back in and cover it up. Then they had to back in and put the poles in. And then they had to carry it out and they had to keep everybody away from it. Oh my goodness. The church, and it just to make this point, as I drove in from the rental that we're in, coming into town, there on the right is the gymnasium, the little gymnastics crew, and they're all out there with their suits on, getting to go somewhere else and do gymnastics. What's happened to America where God is no longer important? What's happened? It's what we've done ourselves to ourselves. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant. And it's just a remnant of people that have done this. But then, having heard the word of the Lord through the prophet Haggai, they obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai because the Lord their God had sent him with that message and they heard it. And the people feared. Here, the word feared, it's going to reappear in a minute in the English form, fear. Here is the word, yes, there is a spirit of tremble, but it's a spirit of worship. It's a spirit of recognition that God is judging me, and I need to be repentant. That's the spirit of that Hebrew word there. Verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. God said, I'm going to be with you now. When you get back to work, when you do what I call you to do, I'm going to be with you. When you do it with a heart of fear, reverence, honor, and respect. I'm going to get back to it. So verse 14 says, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. It was the spirit of God that got a hold of the leaders of the people, and it stirred the people themselves, and they came, and they began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, and they specified another date in history at that time. I want to pray and just give a couple of thoughts this morning. Father, we need to get back to work. We've gotten complacent. We've gotten lazy. We've stopped doing what you've called us to do. And we need to repent. This is not just our church, Lord. I know that. It's all of our churches. But I'm not responsible for other churches. I'm called here. So I pray that you will use Haggai's message again to stir up the people from the leadership to everyone else to get back to the main thing, the work of the Lord, rebuilding the house by proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I ask your blessings in that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Two thoughts. If you do it your way, you're going to get what you can do. And that's what the people in that day did. They took the stuff that God gave them to build his house, and they used it for themselves. They became complacent. They stopped worshiping. They didn't have a place to worship, and they didn't care anymore. And God sent a prophet, it said, and he sent a prophet to us today saying the same thing. It's time to get back to work. It's time to make the main thing in our lives. And if we don't, then we're the only ones to blame if it doesn't go well. You read all those things that they did that didn't go well. They were doing it in their strength, in their spirit. We need God's spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need His presence in our lives. And we need it in our Sunday school classes. We need it in our food bank ministry, in the clothes closet ministry. We need it when we go to Oaxaca or any other place to do mission work. We need it wherever we go. We've got to have God's leadership and spirit in our life and not think that we are in charge. Or it will be half-baked. It will come up short. It will not satisfy. It'll never get finished. And in other words, it'll just get in the way and we'll lose our focus. It'll become frustrating and then we'll quit. That's what they did. They took their eyes off Jesus. If you do it your way, you're going to get what you get. And you can't expect to blame anybody but God that it wasn't blessed. The second thought is just the opposite. If you do it God's way, you're going to get what God gives you. It was then that they were able to rebuild the temple. Now let me tell you, in the scripture, and you can continue reading because it's just two chapters, and we read, I think, all of one. Yeah, you're going to find out that God said, you know, you had the stuff to start with. Now you got to go get more. So it's going to be more work to go get more, the timbers, and bring them down from the mountains and move forward. But when you do it God's way, God says, I will be with you and I will see you through it. It may not be easy, but it will work. I don't have this on the screen today. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You know this verse. God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, He says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Now here's how we like to pray that prayer. Well, Lord, if my people who are called by my name will just pray. If we'll just pray hard enough. No, we skip the part. We skip that humbleness. We skip that personal reflection. Who are we anyway? We think we're the salt of the earth. Well, Jesus says we are, but not for the reason we say. We think we're it. We're not. We're God's creation, created in His image, formed for His purpose and glory and delight. And you'll see that in a moment. We skip this humble thing. We need more. Ray, that couldn't have been a better song for this message, and you had no idea. It's about Him coming to the altar. It's just perfect timing, because this altar is dry. This altar is dusty. Oh, it's got scuff marks on it, but that's from kicking it. The altar. Did anybody read the sign in the front of the church today? Did anybody read it? Five people. You came in the back. Okay, I excuse you. You won't fall far if you're on your knees. Something to that effect. It's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. And you know what? We worry about the carpet back there that we walk on every day. Why don't we wear this carpet out on our knees? Why don't we return to the humbleness of understanding God's presence is what we need in our lives? If we will humble ourselves first and pray. Humbling ourselves in our prayers is, Lord, I'm a sinner. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I don't know how to not do it again, so I'll need your Holy Spirit to help me not do it again. That's our humbleness. We forget a lot of things. To come before God is not to come. It says to come boldly, but it doesn't come brashly. To humble ourselves and pray. And as He was trying to say to Peter and got it across, seek my face, God's face, and turn from what we've not done to what we should be doing. I mentioned last week that each week I haven't really had a chance to sit down with Paul, and I want to sit down with Paul, our Sunday school director, and talk about projecting some things. But the purpose of Sunday school has always been reach, teach, win, and develop. I don't know where gossip and worrying about whose game won the ball game came into that, but we got to get rid of that. And we got to get back to reaching, teaching, winning, and developing. Now, I know the Sunday school lesson that Betsy's girls are studying right now is very difficult. For whatever reason, the Lifeway took Alexander McLaren's commentary and they copied and pasted it into the Sunday School Quarterly. I got that whole set of commentaries and I got it on the top shelf because I can't read it and understand it myself. It's old English and the words don't even mean the same. But it does make you read the Word of God. Are you reading it? Are you studying it? We got to get back to teaching. Reaching, last week I said reach. Who can you invite? Who can you ask? Teach. Commit yourselves in your Sunday school classes, your small groups, whatever you want to call them, to teach the Word of God. Try to delve into it and understand what it has to say. And if you don't know, there are resources galore to find it. Now let me move on. When they returned to Jerusalem the first time, everything was in ruins. Their nation was gone. Their city was destroyed. The temple was gone. I mean, Solomon's temple in all of its glory was gone. All the gold and jewels and everything carried away. Gone forever, never to return. And their lives had been turned upside down, but many of them had no idea what that temple was. And God spoke to them and said, does anybody here remember? And by asking them, do you remember? He was saying, rise up and teach those who don't, even though you'll never replace the glory of Solomon's temple, replace the glory of God in my heart, in your heart, and the temple will not matter. That's when the voice of God spoke. That's when they had to make a choice. And according to the scripture, in verse 12, they obeyed that voice. And in verse 14, they began to work again. Exodus 19:5 says, now, if you obey me fully and keep my commandment, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Do you know that's my prayer for this church? I'm not putting down any other church, but I'm saying, Lord, if you will still use us, if you'll still let your glory be shined in our hearts and lives, out of all the nations, help us be your treasured possession. John 14:23 says, anyone who loves me and obeys my teaching, he says, my Father loves them and will come to them and make their home together. If you go into chapter 2 of Haggai, it says God said to go to work. In verse 5, it says, this is what I've covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. This has always been his plan for our life. That's never changed. We're the ones that changed. In verse, the rest of that, he says, and I do it by my spirit. My spirit will remain in you. And he says, you will not fear. This is the second fear. You will not fear. You will not fear the problems or the difficulties or the enemy that may come your way. And then in verse 7, he says, I will then fill this house with my glory. And the house will be filled with his glory one person at a time, says the Lord. And then he finishes in verse 9. He says, and the glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former. It won't be Solomon's temple, but the glory of God will be greater than it ever was before if the people will humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. And as he said to them, get back to work. Make the main thing in our lives. How do we do it? We will do it when the people of God capture the heart of God, and the heart of God's rules are reapplied in the house of God, and God brings His glory into our lives for all the world to see. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, but give glory to your Father which is in heaven." Are you ready to get back to work? I am. Let's pray. Father, we need to get back to work. The main thing needs to be the main thing. It's not about personalities. It's not about buildings. It's not about legacies. It's about Jesus Christ. Because one day you're coming again. And we need to all be ready. Those who are lost, the worst of all sinners in our own eyes, still need Jesus Christ. Because hell is real and forever. Forgive us of our sin. Make us new and restore a right spirit, the spirit of the glory of God in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord, I'm coming home. Well, maybe not today, but one day. Are you? We have wandered. We have neglected. But let's just make the commitment today. As for me and my house, I, as Joshua said, I will serve the Lord. Let's make that commitment again today that says, I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what sacrifices I have to make. As long as God gives me breath and the command, I will be obedient. Let's stand and let's sing this one like we mean it. If you haven't picked up on this, I've changed the direction of messages. I feel God leading us toward that revitalization weekend in November. It is not a program. They're not going to give us six things to come back and do in our church. Bottom line is this. We don't revitalize our heart with God, reclaim His glory in our life, understand His forgiveness, love, and mercy. All the programs in the world won't change America. We need Jesus. This is a beginning. I pray in the days of, they might even think we're Pentecostal, that we have people up praying, people repenting, crying and weeping, not just for self, but for the lost, for those who need Jesus Christ, for those who've wandered away and need to be encouraged back. God's going to do something good if we let Him. We got to let Him. Let's pray. Father, as we dismiss, just stir our hearts. Challenge us with your word. Calls us to fall on our knees and beg forgiveness. So Lord, send us out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.